Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
So Jesus, speaking to his disciples as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, says, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing that is secret that will not become known. What I say to you here in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall from the ground to the ground apart from your father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to this earth. I have not come to bring peace, but the sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." Will you pray with me? Oh God, we pray, speak in this place, in the calming of our minds and in the longing of our hearts. By the words of my lips and in the thoughts that we form, speak, speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. So what are you afraid of? What fills you with dread? What keeps you up at night worrying? In these days of political and cultural upheaval, as we're experiencing the intensifying effects of the climate crisis, the residual effects of the pandemic, and so much more, I'm pretty sure your answers to these questions are many. You fear the unknown. You fear violence. You fear being alone. You see, fear is one of the most pervasive and powerful motivating forces in human experience. Fear motivates us, but you know, it also can immobilize us, right? Psychologists used to talk just about fight or flight, and lately they've added also freeze to our as one of the instinctive reactions to fear. So now it's fight, flight, or freeze. And from the moment you are born, you are taught and you learn to fear the world around you. You fear the stranger, and sometimes even those close to you. You fear anything you're told, the road, Already somebody reminded me to be careful crossing the road to the parking lot. And I, as you remember yesterday when I was here, I said the joke my track teacher said, my track coach said, you know, the kinds of drivers they have in Southbury. You know, the teenage drivers who think they own the road and the Heritage Villagers who know they own the road, right? I was always more afraid of the teenagers. But, you know, we're taught to fear. And then political leaders, right? They have long recognized the power that fear has in ensuring your conformity to the structures of the world, even when it doesn't suit your best interest. Cable news media has learned that fear drives ratings up, and in turn, profits soar. And so fear has become the driving force behind vast segments of our economy, as well as our political landscape. But Jesus understands the human condition, right? Jesus recognizes fear's power over us and that pervasive grip that fear has on society. And so that's why Jesus is presenting these words of encouragement and comfort in today's reading. Yes, I said that. Encouragement and comfort. You may be thinking I'm a little nuts, thinking phrases like, I haven't come to bring peace, but the sword are supposed to be encouraging. But I hope you'll hear me out as we dive into this text for today. I think it has a word for us. This section from Matthew's gospel is part of a larger section called the Mission Discourse. It's the whole 10th chapter. And it's a get out the volunteers campaign like no other, to paraphrase one commentator. So the 10th chapter begins happily enough with Jesus bestowing great authority on his disciples, giving them power to do miracles, and a hopeful message to proclaim. Jesus sends them out in great and gentleness, telling them that it's not their job to fight it when the going gets tough. This is where you get shake the dust off their feet if they're mean to you and walk away. Don't beat people over the head with the gospel, Jesus is saying. If they don't like what you have to say, move on. Go to the next town. If they're roughed up in one town, they're told to go to the next one. If they get arrested, they don't need an attorney, Jesus says. Just let the Holy Spirit speak through them as their on-the-spot defense counsel. The disciples are called to be gentle souls and loving proclaimers of the gospel. Jesus warns them not to be warriors, not to be shrill, and tells them not to hang around when they are clearly not wanted. Their lives need to be examples of the gospel of grace that they are proclaiming. They should be radiating God's love to all they encounter. So that's how the 10th chapter begins, with these notes of nonviolent and loving gospel proclamation. But then in the 16th verse, Jesus' tone changes. The outlook gets grim pretty quick. Look, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves, Jesus tells them. And despite all their loving rhetoric and gentle demeanor, the disciples, they're going to get harassed. They're going to get beat up, thrown in prison, called false teachers, and more, Jesus tells them. In response to their messages of love, they will be hated. So what's with this seemingly sudden shift in tone? Why is Jesus highlighting the horrors that await them? I think we need to answer this, we have to take a step back from the words of the text and look at the context Matthew is writing in. Matthew was written sometime between 80 and 90 CE, just after the destruction of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, which happened in 70 CE. So by this time, in the history of the Christian church, there were already competing factions of Jesus' followers. We know what that's like, right? And at the same time, rabbinical Judaism was growing in response to the destruction of the temple. And then there was the always and ever-present oppression of the Roman Empire. So Matthew was writing to a Christian community that was already facing conflict and persecution. For Matthew's original readers, Jesus was describing what was really happening to them. He was offering comfort that Jesus knows what they are experiencing and encouraging them to persevere. Jesus is naming aloud of the suffering to be endured as the first step in freeing these disciples from the grip that fear has on them. Three times Jesus tells them not to be afraid and encourages them. Do not be afraid, Jesus tells them. You are worthy. So what are we to do? Sitting here where we are about to finish the first quarter of the 21st century, coming out of a global pandemic, living through what seems like the most divided society that any of us can remember, what word does Jesus have for us as we prepare to embark on this next ministry adventure together? As I read and I reread and I reread our text for today, I was repeatedly drawn to the words of Jesus in verse 31. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Don't be afraid. You are worthy. Our call as Christians is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, a gospel of radical, inclusive love and extravagant welcome, right? It's a love that says that everyone is welcome in God's kingdom. It's a message that says you are a beloved child of God. And God delights in you exactly as you are, for who you are. And for many, this message is hard to hear. This message of unconditional love and extravagant welcome is often met with hate and vitriol. It's still a wonder to me sometimes that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be so hated. But then I realize just how many of those who are proclaiming the gospel are they themselves so unchristlike. I'm reminded of the quote that's often attributed to Mahatma Gandhi, who he's said to have said, "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." We know what he's talking about, right? History is filled with times when the church tried to convert people to Christianity at the point of a sword or on threat of execution. Certain medieval popes were little better than mafia types who had their enemies assassinated. And eventually, in history, followers of Jesus were not the ones being thrown in prison because of their beliefs, but being the ones who were throwing others into prison because of their unbelief. Just this year, in the last few months, there have been multiple documentaries have been released chronicling the problematic and often harmful ways that the gospel of Jesus has been proclaimed by fundamentalists within several different well-known communities, the Marsh Hill community, Hillsong, the Duggar family. And so in all of these ways, and in 1,000 others, it's easy to see why the gospel can be despised by some, or even rejected. The gospel gets polluted when we who bear the message ourselves are living at cross purposes with the gospel's content. But even as we see in the reading today, even when the proclaimers of the gospel are not hypocrites, the message of God's extravagant love and unconditional welcome still gets rejected. The heartbeat of the gospel of Jesus Christ is grace and love, forgiveness and reconciliation, hope and joy. These are things that humans intrinsically crave at a cellular level. So why do we reject these things? I think, for me, I think this is true too, that it's what lies beneath, behind the love, grace, forgiveness, and hope that scares people. God's forgiveness is great until you realize that accepting God's forgiveness for you means you also have to accept that God loves and forgives those people. Right? We just don't like the idea that people we don't like are loved by God just as much as we are. In the face of a rejection of the gospel message of unconditional love and welcome, what are we to do? What do we do with this? For that, we return back to the 10th chapter of Matthew, and we find the encouragement of Jesus reminding us, do not be afraid. You are worthy. With the love of God, the encouragement of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, we continue to preach the good news of God's radical, inclusive love and extravagant welcome. Friends, being a follower of Jesus is an act of courage. It takes an incredible amount of vulnerability and courage to proclaim God's love for everyone. It's hard work. I can't sugarcoat it. But, is it worth it? As Brené Brown reminds us, having the courage to show up and be seen, even if it means risking failure, hurt, shame, and even possibly heartbreak, so rewarding. Because hiding out, pretending, and armoring up against fear and vulnerability are killing us, killing our spirit, our hopes, our potential, our creativity, our ability to lead, to our love, our faith, and our joy. If I am called as your next pastor, it is my vision that we will work together. Together, we will lean in to the challenge, the challenges of this time, courageously dreaming together how to be the church, how to proclaim the good news of God's extravagant welcome and unconditional love. There is so much hurt and so much loneliness in our communities. There are so many people who believe they are unlovable. There are so many people living trapped by the fear they are being sold. So many who need to hear these words from Jesus. Don't be afraid. You are worthy. Maybe you need to hear this too. Don't be afraid. You are worthy. So I like have a little exercise for you as we wrap this up. I'd like you to think of someone in your life who needs to hear this message, who needs to hear this reminder from Jesus, and send them a text message after church today. Give them a call and let them know that they are loved and they are worthy in the eyes of God. Can you do that? Let us pray. Oh Lord, surround us with love and compassion for our communities in such a way that we are moved to be living witnesses to your loving kindness and saving power. Give us the courage to proclaim your holy name in thought, word, and deed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.